Welcome to Women in WP, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Tracy Apps.
Our guest today is Tammy Lister. Tammy, I forgot to ask you where you live.
If you're trying to find the middle of England, you'll find the field that I live in. And I live in a cottage and it has wild rabbits and lambs next to it.
I watch a lot of British police procedurals, and I'll tell you, my impression of this is you have more serial killers or murderers than you do sheep.
So I live in a village that should have an old lady detective.
You should really have Vera living in your
That should
village.
Be what I do in my part-time. I should be the old lady detective
solving crimes.
In the village, solving crimes. WordPress by day, crime fighting
by night.
In my knitting.
Tammy is a product creator, practitioner, and mentor passionate about open source. And we're going to talk to her a lot about that today. At the core of her work is the desire to create products, experiences, communities, and practices that work no matter what the circumstances. And I have a quote from you from Twitter. I'm going to launch into here. She recently founded PressNavigator.com to help people navigate the ever-changing landscape of WordPress to realize the full potential of WordPress in their company or organization. And she's recently a co-host with Jonathan Wold of the Woo Product Chat as part of Do the Woo. Welcome, Tammy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so delighted to meet you. I think this is the first time I've really got to meet you. So I've heard your name for a long time. And so this is really fun for me.
And I think the last time I saw you was like was it Maui?
Oh, wow. That's a while ago. That's a long time ago. That's like the before times.
The before times.
I love this recent post of yours from yesterday on Twitter. You've got some real gems. So people should follow you on Karma.
Comatosed, but good luck.
Comatosed. I love that.
So I can tell you the story of the origin of that nickname if you want, because that may be a good starting point. Back in the day, it was really difficult to have a nickname that showed your gender, I guess. That's my nickname that has stuck with me across the internets for a long time. It's adorable when people try and pronounce it now, but it is one that I don't think I could unpick now. It's just stayed with me for such a long time.
Lovely. Well, what you wrote, which I thought was really profound, was this kind of long-term thinking where you said long-term projects are epic quests. Mm-hmm. You never know what the human you are interacting with might have experienced. WordPress ebbs and flows, as does life. What keeps both going is listening, learning, adapting, and responding with open hearts. Open source is people source, truly. So with that, I do want to ask you about your journey into open source and working on WordPress Core.
Yeah, so I kind of naturally thought, you know, I come from a kind of a hybrid art and software engineering background. And I kind of thought, hey, the thing that you take from, you should give back to. So after kind of stopping torturing my own solutions and kind of going with open source and it being the natural fit, I kind of thought, hey, I'll do Core. I know it was super scary. We were like 18, a long time ago. I tried to go to Core and it was super difficult. It was super daunting. It was a very different space, a very different time. And it's not to say anyone's fault, but I may be quite confident in my space, but this is like my community and my space now. And so I've been able to find a voice and find a myself here. I'm also like older, late 40s, right? I wasn't then. And me going into even an online virtual space was super difficult. So for me to then try and find a space where I could contribute was really, really difficult. And I'm not particularly good at like over noise or any of those kind of situations. And it was a very noisy space. I kind of drastically ran away from core and ended up into the little corners of contribution in a beautiful way. I contributed to the theme review team, and then I found my place in BuddyPress, and that was a space I ended up for a very long time, communities again. And then slowly theming was really my kind of place. Themes just run deep within me. It's that kind of balance, somehow I've gone back to again and again and again. It's just, I've had a lot of reflections recently. I guess this kind of happens to you at points in your open source career of remembering, would this space be good for this person, me, if I try to be there now? And that's what I try and kind of remember. So yeah, that was my journey. But my journey was not easy. It's not always an easy journey to contribution. Trying to be a hybrid is very interesting because you always want one thing or the other. So yeah.
What was most challenging with that? You know, you mentioned the busyness and trying to find where you belonged, but how, what were the specific challenges, and do you think that's improved over time?
So a 1,000,000% think it's improved. And I think we need to realize it's improved, but realize that the work's not done. So I think that that's the thing. It's like improved, good work. we're not done because people are changing, and the people that we want to include are not us, and always listening to different adaptions. Just because it may be adapted that it worked for me doesn't mean that it then is going to adapt to work for other people. So I've been able to listen. The project adapts and changes to be for the people who are working within it, not for the people who are outside of it. It's kind of a response, ecosystem response. One of the big challenges for me is dyslexia makes it super difficult sometimes from concentration. And I've learned that my brain works in super interesting ways over the years that it's kind of been on my shoulders. and that was always a kind of really interesting space to be in, because this expectation of text and expectation of fast response, this expectation to always be kind of thinking words really quickly as well. And sometimes I need a bit of time and a bit of pondering, and that's okay. I now take time and I take pondering. And that expectation to kind of pick design or development. I think right at the beginning of the project, we had less of that. We went through a period kind of recently where we said a lot more that you had to kind of select. I think we're going back to where you don't have to, and I'm super glad I'm hearing the words like design engineers, who have been there all the time, coming back. So I just think it's never super easy, but just trying to remember who we are, and that all of us, I don't think anyone in the project has had a super easy time, but you just have to remember that path that you have.
I relate on a lot of levels to you, especially, you know, being the design. My background's art, but, you know, I started teaching myself to code in 1996. So, like, that whole, like, choose a lane was never, like, no, that doesn't make sense to me. And I've also found myself a lot in the themes and in the theming. And I want to talk about kind of ways that because I know that I know my brain also works differently, and it takes some time sometimes. And in employer situations, like how do you work best, like if someone's like, hey, to hire people that are neurodivergent and to be successful? Because honestly, the studies prove that if you have a diverse set of, you know, eyes and, you know, talent in your team, which includes neurodivergent, you're more successful.
That's such a difficult question for someone particularly like me, because I was born in 1975. So there is so much, like, layers of getting comfortable with what my brain actually functions at. And that's something, one of the benefits I'm going to say the pandemic is I got to create, like many people, the space that gave my brain just a breath. And I think a particular lot of older people, just as curiously, got to do that for one of the first times in their career, even though we're remote workers. But, you know, traveling, going to conferences, you're putting not you on, right? You're performing, right? And been able to do that. And I realized that, oh yeah, there was a lot going on that I didn't quite realize. And I've been doing a lot of work, still a journey. But there's a lot of, you know, from age to gender, working out kind of how that works. I think it is a really hard journey. It's only something that's come up the past few years, even in employment. It's something when I first started my career, it was definitely nothing that ever came up. It was something that I was almost trying to hide the fact that I wasn't a male, let alone try and bring up anything else, to be blunt. particularly like the if I was first programming, this was outside WordPress roles. But for now, I think one of the things I always try and mentor is your better worker and better perform, and your people who work for you are better when they get to be their whole selves. And when they don't, they're either, you're going to have frictions at work or you are going to be the friction at work. And I know that I have experienced that. And I know that I've seen that with people on teams that I've led. So it's about trying to find how that happens to that person. And it might be that the person has to have the camera off in the video chat. And it might be that that person has to use a different tracking system or has different timing. And that's okay. You know, education systems have different processes put in place for different people. So bringing that into the workplace is also totally okay and totally fine. But part of this is also, I'm a great believer that people need to be mentored by people that also understand it as well. I think, and that's not that they can only understand it, that if you have it, understand it is one of, is the thing that I'm going. And you understand it by listening. Because I'm not in anyone's head. You can have exactly the same diagnosis as someone, but you're not in their head. And that does, it's same diagnosis does not mean the same head. and that's one of the big kind of myths, I think. Yeah, it's really hard to unpick. But you also get, if you're an older woman, that's also something that I've been embracing as I get older. And, you know, that changes who I am, what I do, and how I function. We don't see a lot of policies about, you know, menopause, and we don't see a lot of policies about that. We're starting to, thank goodness, but that's something very dear to my heart. That's something I've recently gone through. And having, you know, I'm part of the first generation who's maybe having to discover that in a way that the generations before didn't discover it. So there's so much to kind of advocate and move in place. That's such a big question.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, I've been learning a lot about menopause affects so many things. Hormones affects like dozens of things that I didn't even think were connected. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so this whole like amplification of ADHD, hormones, this, hormones, what your foot itches? Could be hormones, you know, it's one of those things where it can affect every part of your life.
And I was, so I, my body decided that, this is actually something I've not shared, welcome to the first show, but this is something that, you know, it's weird because it's kind of said in hushed whispers, I've got me the menopause, right? Mm-hmm. But my body decided to do it during the pandemic because why not?
Why like, not?
Thanks.
Throw that in there too. Great.
But I have the patch. I love it. Like, I'm a great advocate for it, but I only have it because I had to go on an education journey. I had to read some books. I had to discover that, you know, it was the right thing for me. It was a lot, right, to kind of learn and a lot. But yeah, one of the first signs that I had in advance was itchy leg. And then the other one was wandering into a room and just not knowing why I was in that. So I had a very scary about 6 months where I thought I wouldn't be able to function in my job anymore because I was just starting to just lose my memory. I was just like, well, this is it. I'm going to be so, you know, all those myths about that you feel like old women in tech cannot handle, you know, brain, ditzy, whatever. And I haven't gone gray yet, but apparently like my brain, and I was like, but it wasn't me, it was a hormone imbalance. Yep. And I, the moment that I address that, I'm back, right? I'm back in the room kind of thing. And it's really, really weird. And I'm on the lowest dose you can possibly be on. It's weird. It's a really weird thing to kind of get that empowerment. But no, we don't talk about it.
No, it's true.
Well, we're talking about it here and now.
We're going to blaze the path. Honestly, I learned so much on TikTok. TikTok is a great education tool.
So there's a really good book by Daphina McCall as well. She's written an incredible book about it that just debunks, like, it gives you the facts of what causes cancer, what doesn't cause cancer, where you can have the patch, where you can't have the patch, where it's right for you. So you don't have to wear it on your arm is another thing, because one of the big fears is like that it's super visible. I wear mine on my thigh. I'm not sure I'm flashing my thigh to most people personally. That's not something I'm doing. Not my age, no. So it's me. Like twice a week it gets changed and that's it. That's, you know, is it for the rest of life? Yes. And that's something that isn't shared much, that it's for the rest of your life that you will have it as well. So yeah, it's really... Oh, I hope it's better for next generations. It has to be.
I definitely see a shift, and I think especially with the us olds, you know, for the those of us born in the 1900s and before. Every time I see these people, they're like, "Oh, I wasn't even born yet." I was like, "Oh my god, okay," but like. I had a very similar experience. I was like, okay, well, pandemic, I can't, you know, just push myself like I did, you know, I'm realizing, no, that's actually not healthy. And it's actually, my body is going to tell me, nah, no, can't just, we just can't do it anymore. And I see that like more people with that, I see a shift slowly in, less in corporate world. I think it's going to trickle down as the leadership kind of changes, but especially in startups and in, you know, smaller companies, realizing, oh yeah, mental health is an issue. And it's an important thing. It's like, yeah. So we need to take care of our whole selves.
Yes.
As employees, as opposed to just being efficiency machines in the cog of capitalism.
And also just this feeling that you can't show it. I fight this daily, and there's this ingrained thing of like, and it's not that like I'm wearing a suit or I'm going off to a high power job, because I'm not, right? Like I YOLO in WordPress, right? Like I'm enjoying it. Like I get like the happy space that I've got to work in, but you still feel that, you know, you can't share a lot of like your mental health still, maybe, or you maybe can't, like whether you're going on hormones or whatever, like all these kind of things. Like I was quite ill last year and I went through quite a lot, but like that was a very, that's quite a private thing. Like and I think that is also some generational thing. Gen X, we're not super good about sharing a lot of that stuff, because we just all down until, like, you know, we'll be ready for the zombie apocalypse and that's fine, we'll be on the front line and you'll be good. But again, though, I just hope that that's a reaction maybe to the generation before, and then the generations after are not going to, like, I feel that each generation is maybe getting a bit better about not doing that. I haven't had children to see the improvement. I'm not going to, just puppies.
Good.
But I guess that's what I try and not pass on through mentoring, is not pass on like that kind of like, and just be like, share your whole self. I mean, you don't have to like turn up to work and go like, here's everything I'm feeling in the laundry list, because that's a whole different employee, right?
Yep.
It's an oversharing one.
Yeah, no, I actually was, you know, I remember getting this advice early on. People were saying, Oh, well, you need to not. It was talking about social media because I think social media was still, and this was someone old school saying, oh, well, don't share your own beliefs and passions and this and
Yeah, it's
stuff
hard.
on your like this account
Yeah.
if you're connected to your own business and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. If I don't, if someone doesn't agree with like my validity and existence as a queer person, I don't want to work with them anyway. So
Yeah.
I'm going to say that out loud, and if I need to lead with that to filter
Yeah.
out, then great.
Yeah.
But that, and I don't see that in the younger generations. I don't see that kind of advice being passed down. I do
Yeah.
see, you know, like, well, obviously you don't, you know, you want to be careful what you share on online for safety, but sharing who you are, not, you know, kind of cutting off a part of yourself in order to be employable, that kind of
Yeah. And
unhealthy
it's
advice.
hard on, but it's so hard on social. And I still like X. I always feel like the saying it makes me feel a bro. Like,
Eggs. Yeah, no. I just call it the network formerly known as Twitter.
That is just, it's hard. I spend a long time going away from it, in fact, and then I'm trying to like get myself back into it a little bit. But honestly, like my happy place is farming and knitting TikTok. That's my happy place. Like
That's
that
perfect.
algorithm, I've trained to be like so happy.
Me too.
But honestly, like I don't do Facebook. I don't do a lot of like. I mean, this is maybe it's a generation thing. But also, I think it's I live in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's I have not a great positive relationship with social media, but that's also maybe like a personal thing as well. Like I'm of the generation that there was a lot of trolling around. I'm a generation that kind of had to experience a lot of that. And I have experienced a lot of that. So the last thing I want to do is like play in
Right, the anxiety can drive you high, but
that.
these little gems you're dropping now, and I think I want to go back to that
Thank
original
you.
tweet because I feel like this whole conversation has revolved around you never know what the human you are interacting with might
Yeah,
have
we don't.
experienced. And then you're also taking that kind of wisdom directly into this service to help people navigate WordPress, which is amazing. Like navigating that open source system as they are. Who are they and what are their needs? And I'm really intrigued by your Press Navigator
Yeah,
site and
thank
like
you.
that service. And tell me a little bit more. It says, I can be your guide, trainer, and
Yeah.
collaborator. And you talk about navigating block themes, site editing, help with product reviews. Like,
Yeah.
talk more about this venture you're going on.
Yeah, so since I kind of left Automattic, I've been on a bit of an adventure myself, which is I've worked at a startup, I've worked at different agencies, and along the way, and when I was working on Gutenberg and phase one, I got to kind of interact and see so many different people experiencing the editors, the block editor, site editor in different ways. And then I found myself falling into either guide or trainer. So guide to me is someone that takes you through it and works with you through it. Trainer is more hands-off. That's kind of the division. And then collaborator is someone that just on the ground collaborates with you. That's what I'm trying to show the division there. And I've always had kind of like hired roles. And what I really wanted to do was offer that with an agency or plugin. I've done some product reviews and maybe people are having issues just with skills. I've seen this time and time again. They're amazing, incredible developers. And it's not their fault they do not get the time to have someone that has a block theme knowledge. And a block theme project lands on their step. Now, I want to give them an option to maybe not have to turn that down or maybe be able to train on the job by bringing someone like me on board. This is part of what I've done in other situations. I've helped with some training. Or just, hey, we want to level some, we want to do some knowledge sharing and then document it so that we've got it from now on. And that passing it on to a group of people then passes it on and then has that knowledge in there in your company, I think it is really, really good from that perspective. And it's not that they just take it so well. It's similar to products. So many products, I say native enough. That's always the term that I use. I don't expect that you're going to have a full native experience because there's a reality and products and shipping and all these kind of different releases. But knowing that maybe there's 50 of the components that you are using that you could easier do native, it can help with that and all those kind of conversations by doing product reviews. A good example is always the primary buttons. You'll see like 4 different primary buttons or different settings or different menus and just taking people through that. So just those kind of things is something. And the other part of what I've done with some people is just roadmaps, know what's coming up. Sometimes people are just so focused on like beautifully focused on the work you're doing. You can't know what's coming up in Encore. You can't know what's happening, and that's okay. That's totally groovy. That's nobody's
like
fault.
They might be compensating around some things that aren't there but that are going to be there,
or part, yeah. One of the things might be in their release that's going to come in that they, so there's a couple of things. One, they might be going to depend on a hook that might not be there. I've seen that before,
right?
Or that might be adapting very soon, or they might be not aware that the whole admin redesign is happening and they might be doing their own admin redesign and they could hook into it, or they might be adding a feature that they could build on top of something in Core. So it's not that Core is going to be better than their feature, but they could build on top of it. And that's the whole thing, is you can always build on top of and then boost whatever you're going to build. So there's, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. But I often feel, I had this comment when I first kind of started going freelance of, okay, that's great, that's your site, but what do you do? When I just put up like I do all these services, so I've been trying to really hone in on what do I do and what have I been doing the past few years, and it just happens this is what I've been doing and I've fallen into. And you know, you sometimes, I'm very lucky in WordPress that I've fallen into what I really like doing and I enjoy doing. I just, seeing someone be empowered who's an incredible developer or designer and seeing them be able to stay in WordPress just because they suddenly know it, or to be able to be empowered to utilize WordPress with the other stacks that they're using and kind of come up with this combination, or be able to win the contract they didn't think they could win by being able to do this or do something easier in their workflow. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, I feel like we need dozens of you out there right now.
I'm in that boat right now where I, you know, so we could just take this for another couple hours because I could pick your brain on this. But one thing I do wonder, because you said you found yourself kind of, you know, in theming, and I definitely did as well. And
yeah.
Got really good at that. So with that kind of shift into block themes, how?
So I'm going to cover this. It's block themes have been easier for me because I've been there since the start. So yeah. I've, it's not like I turned up and then block themes. So a lot of people are having to discover block themes a little bit later. I was very lucky. I was there when TeamJSON was being created. So I was on phase one of Gutenberg. So I always want to lead with that because my enthusiasm for them, my passion for them comes from seeing the point, right? Seeing like the start of it. And also even before that, I worked on a project where I had to see the problem with themes, the experience problem with themes. Turns out quite a few. Not going to ruin the, and this is like classic themes, particularly experience. There were just so many. And one of my, actually my motivations in editor work and others as well was theming. And actually a lot of people who worked on the editor, and this often kind of gets missed, were themers originally. It's so block themes. I don't, words are hard because we give new labels to different things. And I think block themes are just the natural progression of themes, and they're just really making themes be what they should have been. The problem with classic themes is they really were more like a plugin. That's the problem. So words aren't great, but The problem when generally people, and I'm not going to presume this is your problem, but generally when people are having a problem, it's now go make it in this interface. Now don't do it in this code. Now don't do it in this. Because we're not kind of getting back to it's a design system. Once you start talking about what you are creating is from a theme system, and you start talking about the patterns, the template parts, the templates, and then you add the style, and you can create that outside. So the theme JSON, you can create outside, you can create the structure outside, and then bring it in. And that's where I describe it like your Dreamweaver moment. And I kind of use the site editor a little bit like Dreamweaver, where I just start kind of, I kind of fling it all around for like a day whenever I make anything. So Press Navigator, any site that I make, that was done. Press Navigator was done in like half a day, because I just sit, I do all the basic theme JSON and do kind of some rough patterns. And then I just put on some really loud trance music and I just attack the site editor like it's Dreamweaver. That's what I do. And then I will fix everything afterwards and make it all semantically correct a little bit more and sort out the patterns. But that allows me to still have the designer creativity. That allows me to still have the flexibility of patterns. But I can do that because I know how a group bot behaves, because I know what is a pattern, because I know what is a template part. So a little bit of this is you having those understandings first, to say like, now understand block themes when you haven't maybe got to be able to explore patterns. So my recommendation is always, first of all, understand like patterns, then understand how theme JSON works as much as you want to. Theme JSON is amazing. And then look at the design tools, how you maybe want to extend them, and then you start seeing it as a design system. Yeah, I don't know if that helps.
Well, no, that honestly, of that, just that whatever, a couple minutes right there, I understand it more just by just by reframing it in a way of like a design system. And that makes sense to me. And I don't know why, like, it's never kind of presented in such a like a designer way, you know, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't want, you know, my client to just willy-nilly throw things everywhere.
Yeah. But you said confines. This is the thing that, and I hear this from developers all the time. Sorry to kind of say, but I hear this from developers and they're like, nope.
Yeah. I'm that person. I really am. I'm the like, get off my lawn.
But you can set those boundaries. And I actually think this is better, because I have seen so many sites with inline CSS, or like the client has found the not important, which is like, it's basically like someone shouting, which to an English person, super creepy and scary. and you know, I've seen all of those things because they found the custom CSS section harder to find in the site editor. So, you know, because it's in a new place for them, so they're not going to know where it is, right? But if you set a strong palette, you can even set strong duotones. Little hack, I love any site setting up a black and white duotone, so that you can black and white all images. It prevents any clients who have bad photography, because you can just make everything black and white. but you set up those boundaries. You can also do, so there's auto spacing, so you can set up, you can just do basically a set and it will auto do spacings, and then they can only do in those spacings. So you're not going to have like, you can restrict the client a lot more than you think you can without having to be I think there's a thing of, yes, they could learn, but you know, they could learn how to get in your WPW content and upload an HTML file.
Exactly. Right? Like, anywhere there's going to be, but that's, I mean, all of that is like, so for people like, you know, the stick in the muds, get off my lawn people like myself, where do we start? I mean, I know with like for just education, where's good documentation or lessons on this?
So the first one, the Gutenberg Times podcast, and the it's a thing, and the newsletter is the biggest one I'd say to. The second is create block theme plugin, use that to create any theme, it will create your skeleton. It's amazing. The handbook actually is incredible now. And then Learn TV is becoming an incredible resource of amount of things. And just start, they're starting to get a lot more. And then the developer blog for WordPress is starting to have more and more articles as well. The problem is it's often, so I get very distracted by shiny things. So I'll be like, oh, block API, all this and say, but there is a lot that we've got to, particularly from classic to that kind of bridge, if you're dealing with short codes or you're dealing with kind of things like that. There's a lot of things like that we've got to fix without having to deal with like how to do your own blocks and different things as well. So if you want to stay within the theming space, put on the theme tag would be my recommendation in all those, because the moment you get into those wider spaces, you'll be getting into a lot. There are a lot more links, but those kind of are like a good starting places.
Excellent. I'll put those in the show notes. That's awesome. Well, this has been a lovely conversation. So informative, you know, like being able to hear a bit about your personal journey, but also for you to educate us all in like 2 minutes, like, wow, now here, go to these three places.
And just start making patterns is a big one. So there's a pattern library, just make a pattern and put it in the pattern library. That's a really good start as well. Just pulling them down and playing with them. Such a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, that's lovely. So where can people find you online?
So you can find me on Twitter at Karmatoast, and also at tammylister.com or pressnavigator.com.
Okay, and I will put those in the show notes as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.